out of the country, and I say, how many of you are saved? And then some of these people go, that's like a Nazarene, half in, half out. I was up in Jacksonville, Arkansas, preaching, and I stayed on the Air Force base there. And I stayed at this sergeant's house, a little, it wasn't a house, but it was a, for all the other sergeants and folks stayed. So I stayed there, and I had his car. And Brother Bowen, I drove his car on the base and off of the base for the entire meeting. And when I drive on the base, they'd have a guard at the shack, and he'd go like this. And I couldn't figure out what in the world. So about Tuesday night, after making about 6-7 trips back and forth, I said to the pastor, what does this mean? He said, I don't know. He said, I want you to ask the guy that the house you stayed in. I went up to him, and I said, Sergeant, what does this mean? He said, oh, that's a lazy man salute. He said, when they do this, you're not an officer. So when your car comes through, they look at your sticker, and they go like this. That's the kind of, they have no respect for you. It's a lazy man. Instead of saluting properly, that's a lazy man salute. So I pulled up on Tuesday night. Bless God, I slammed on that brake. I skidded. Hey, salute me, boy! I'm not even in the Air Force. Boy, they scared the fire out of this guy. He stepped to like that, and he started shaking like that. He said, yes, sir, yes, sir. I said, say it again. He said, yes, sir. I said, say it again. He said, yes, sir, yes, sir. I said, don't you ever do that again. Next three times I went out of there, he was going like this to everybody. When he saw me, he went like that. I'm not even in the Air Force. But that's the way some of you are about. Are you saved? Are you going to heaven? Is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? And you half-hearted, hey, why don't you get you some religion tonight? Hey, there is a heaven, there is a hell, and what's wrong? You're not warning anybody. Now, I'm going to tell you something, Jack. You look at me and listen to me well. If you don't like this kind of church, you just hit the road, Jack. Don't you come back no more. Brother, I haven't given my life for 17 years here to play around. We're not playing house here. We're in church. We're winning souls. We're keeping people out of hell. That's what we're doing. I called a man this afternoon. I said, where were you this morning? Sick? Nope. Nope. He's really excited. Why weren't you there? Didn't want to. You coming tonight? Nope. Why not? Don't want to. Well, let me tell you something, bud. You better thank God that God's got more grace with you than you got with Him. And brother, tonight, if you go earn and work a job to feed your little girl and your little boy, you ought to have it. If you don't, you go to work when you don't want to go to work. Now, bless God, you get your hide out here. Let's keep somebody out of hell. And let's do what God said we're supposed to do. Turn to Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2, let me tell you what to do when you get cold like that. The Bible tells us what to do. Revelation chapter 2, the angel of the church at Ephesus, right, verse 2, he said, these things saith he that holdeth seven stars in the right hand, who walk in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. Now go down to verse 4. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. But I just don't feel like it. Well, what am I going to do? I don't feel like it. Well, you're backslid. You're cold-hearted. Don't give a flip. If anybody gets saved, you're not upset because the invitation's wrong and the sermon's wrong. The truth of the matter is, I love preaching. I don't care. I love preaching. Bless God. You give me a man of God with a Bible. Let him foam at the mouth. Scream, holler, better. I love preaching. But why does one man love preaching and another one doesn't? How can somebody who gets cold-hearted bounce back? The Bible tells us how. Remember, verse 5, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent. Change your mind. Then what do you do? Watch it. And do the first love. Doesn't say that. And do it if you feel like it. Doesn't say that. Here's a man, cold-hearted, on God. His soul is not alive. How does he get his soul back to life? The Bible says he gets back to his first works. What's the first thing you're supposed to do after you get saved? Get baptized. Then what? Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I wouldn't give you a flip for these preachers didn't go soul winning. Bless God, you saw me out yesterday winning souls to Christ. You saw my van full. You men that are out here working the streets. I'm telling you, I'm not getting up here and hollering at you and screaming at you and telling you to do something I don't do. I work these streets. I walk these streets. I never run into another preacher out there. They're not out there doing the first works. In God's name, why don't you shout about it? So I'm going to get right. Going to church tonight, there you go on. Why not? Don't want to. Well, I don't want to go to work, but I'm going to work. Decent enough to feed my family. You ought to be decent enough to go to church. Bless God, if I didn't like the preacher, I hated the preacher, didn't like the church, I'd come anyway. Why? Because it's right to do. America's gone because of a lack of character. So he said in Ezekiel, what you ought to do, verse 19, say, if you want to deliver your soul, then warn people. All right, thank you, maybe see this. Let's take a look at verse 20. Again, when a righteous man doth turn from his righteousness and commit iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die. Because he has not given him, here's the word, warning. He shall die in his sin, his righteousness which he hath done shall not be remembered, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou, here it is again, warn the righteous man that the righteous sin not, and he doth not sin, he shall surely live, because he is warned. Also thou hast delivered thy soul. All right? Now what is God saying? God is saying here, you're not going to win everybody, but you better warn everybody. God is saying the first responsibility you have is let's go soul warning. Let's warn everybody. Now that's what's wrong with you. What's wrong with you? If you can't win them, you ain't going to go. But that's not the thing he told you to do. He told you to warn people. He told you to hand out gospel tracts. He told you to tell people how to be saved. He told you to warn people that there was a hell. And if you never see anybody saved, you're supposed to warn people. Somebody say amen. That's what the Bible says. All right. There's two types of theology, two extremes being used by lazy theologians. Let me tell you what they are. One's hyper-Calvinism. Whatever will be. If it ain't meant to be, it's going to go ahead and be anyway. Well, that's wonderful logic. It's like the guy standing at the top of the stairway, fell down, broke his leg, and said, well, thank God, that's over with. The other is a A.W. Tozier approach, which is a soul murder approach, which means be careful, because if you don't do this right, you're going to send people to hell. Now, ladies and gentlemen, people were going to hell before you ever showed up. You don't send people to hell. Now, this is a real cute doctrine. This is a real cute theological position. Because now you have, see, you know what the problem is, don't you? The problem is those Catholics. You know that, don't you? What's wrong is the Catholics. See, that's what's wrong. Because the Catholics are sending people to hell. You know that, don't you? Now we have somebody to blame. You know that, don't you? Now we can sit back and blame the Catholics because people are going to hell. Because you see, they're sending people to hell. If I thought a priest had the power to send people to hell, I'd be afraid of him. But I'm not afraid of him. Why? He doesn't have that power to send anybody to hell. I know what you think. We just blow the Vatican off the map. That would solve all the problem. No, it wouldn't. People were going to hell before there was a Catholic. I'm saying tonight that you, there's a cute theology you have. Blame everybody because people are going to hell and just let them die and go to hell. Oh, see, that's why you have your JFWs, your Jehovah False Witnesses. Aren't you glad you've got somebody to blame? Aren't you glad you've got somebody to blame because people are going to hell? Because don't you know they send people to hell? You know that, don't you? You want to have fun? This is fun. You want to have fun? This is fun. I drove down the street one day, and there was two Jehovah Witnesses, false witnesses, standing at the door. I got out of my car, I walked up to them, and I said, hi, I'm a Jehovah Witness, and I'm out of material. I'm not lying. I'm a real Jehovah Witness. And I was out of their material. And the guy looked at me, and he said, well, here, take what we've got. And I said, no, you don't understand. I need a whole lot more than this. I'm a hard-working Jehovah Witness. He said, well, we got a station wagon down at the end of the street. Come on down, and we'll load you up. I said, fine. I took my car, drove down there, popped the trunk, and I took everything he had out of the wagon and put it in the trunk of the car and went home and burned it. Somebody say amen. But isn't it nice you've got somebody to blame? It's the JFWs. That's the people sending people to hell. So you sit back with your remote control on Thursday night and say, well, you know, that's the problem. It's those Catholics. It's those JFWs. That's the problem. My dear friend, no Jehovah Witness has the power to send anybody to hell. You're letting them go to hell. And then the Mormons. Aren't you glad you've got some Mormons to blame? They come to town in their little tricycles with their white church and their ties that says Latter-day and with the haircuts like what you used to wear. Isn't it nice? And of course, their doctrine is dumb. Do you know they wear funny underwear? How many knew that? They wear, it keeps the evil spirits away. That's a blessing. I've been looking for a pair myself. Do you know what they teach, these Mormons teach? They teach that at the resurrection day that you husbands will have the power to pull your wife out or leave her in. You know, that may be in there somewhere. And those Mormons teach if you women are real good, you'll be eternally pregnant. Ain't that a blessing? Now, isn't it something? We've got somebody to blame now. We've got the Catholics to blame. We've got the JFWs to blame. We've got the Mormons to blame. We've got everybody to blame while we sit around and let them die and go to hell. They're not going to hell because of the Catholics. They're not going to hell because of the JFWs. They're not going to hell because of the Mormons. They're going to hell because nobody warns them. Turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10. Let me show you something. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 10. The Bible tells us in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10 this. Watch it carefully. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. Now they are deceived by their unrighteous acts. Watch it. Because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. Now what happened? They were deceiving themselves by their own sin. Now look at verse 11. For this cause, God should send them strong delusion, they should believe a lie. Why do they believe a lie? They believe a lie because they are deceived by their own sin. They love their own sin. They love their own sin more than they love God. Verse 12. That they all might be damned who believed not the truth. Now, why didn't they believe the truth? But had pleasure in unrighteousness. Illustration. My wife called me to the office. I was working as an accountant, and she said, would you go get Daddy? I said, where's your dad? She said, he's down at Gull Lake, and him and the priest went down to paint the Catholic Church building. So I went over there, and when I pulled up to the Catholic Church building at Gull Lake, guess what? Lying across the front porch was the priest, up chucking his guts, and there was a case of beer off the side. Guess what else? My father-in-law was laying across the other side of the steps, up chucking his guts, and he was laying there drunk. Now, do you know why my father-in-law didn't like Baptists? Because they were teetotalers. And he didn't want to hear nothing about a Baptist church because my father-in-law liked to drink. Now, listen to me. That's why he went to the Catholic Church. I picked up the priest and took him back to his concubine. I took my father-in-law and took him back home, drunker than a skunk. And I got to tell you tonight, and please listen to me, people choose the church they want to choose to match what they want to believe. Brother, tonight you may not agree with our standards, but you will find a church with whose standards you do agree. But we're not going to change what the Bible says because you want to believe different. Now, here's what we do. We blame the Mormons. We blame the JFWs. We blame the Catholics. It's real cute and convenient theology, but it's not scriptural. No human being has the power to send another human being to hell. And of course, here's real cute. You lead somebody to Christ, and somebody says, do you think he really meant it? Oh, I don't know. He may turn out to be like you, a dud. Well, do you think he really got saved? And you got that quizzical look on your face. Do you think he really got saved? I don't know. What does really saved mean? We don't have in our Converse slip down here at the front, saved, moderately saved, extremely saved, really saved. I mean, the pastor don't sit there looking deep in their eyes and say, I don't know, maybe moderate. You go to a mortuary and look at a bunch of dead bodies and say, that's dead, and that's dead. But boy, that's really dead there. Son, dead is dead and saved is saved. And then here's a good one. Where are they all? I have an answer. Are you ready? Are you ready, boys and girls? Are you ready? Somewhere. Da 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 da. Somewhere. You ain't just cause you know what some of you Baptists are? You're really Church of Christ. You're not Baptist. You ought to change your sign. See, if they don't get saved in your church, baptized in your church, come to your church, quit their smoking and drinking and cussing and tithe to your church, you Baptists nowadays are saying they're not even saved. That's a Church of Christ doctrine. That's not a Bible doctrine. You listen to me and you listen to me well. When somebody trusts Christ, they're saved forever. One guy said to me, what do you do if you think they lied to you? First of all, how do you know if somebody's lying? Do you look deep in their eyes? If there's not a twinkle, you slap him? And say, boy, don't you ever lie to me again? Now look, you don't call me a liar, and I'm not going to call you a liar. Well, I think if you really got saved, you wouldn't commit adultery. Oh, you're talking about David in the Bible? Oh, if I tell you what, if you got saved, you wouldn't get drunk. Oh, I know who you're talking about. You're talking about Noah. Now you listen to me, ladies and gentlemen, everybody that calls upon Christ is saved. Now let me give you 65 points, 35 sub-points, 3 jokes, and 2 tear-jerking illustrations. I was in the Atlanta airport, and I was rushing to get to my plane. And I ran down. They got this little new section there in Atlanta airport. In Atlanta, it's a mess. It is an absolute mess. Somebody said, when you die, you're going to have to go through Atlanta to get to heaven. I hope not. So I'm rushing down and rushed down, and they just closed the gate, and my plane was backing away. Well, as I had run down to get there, there was a man, old, probably in his 70s, maybe middle 70s, passing out tracts, and he couldn't get anybody to take the tracts. Well, I took a tract going by, and I told him I was saved, and I rushed down to the plane and got down there, and my plane had pulled out. I had nothing to do for 2 hours to catch the next flight. So I went back down there, and I'd never done this before in my life, and don't plan on doing it again. But I went down to this where this man was, and I said, look, it doesn't look like you're having much luck here passing these tracks out. Let me help you. I'm saved. Let me help you. I ain't never done this before. Give me a stack of those things. I took my coat off the other side, took my briefcase off the side, and I got those tickets, and I stood out to the side there, and I hold it! And you should have seen them. They froze. 50 people froze. Hold it! And we were in a little bin where you had to make a turn. I said, you cannot pass and get on your flight until you get this ticket. Line up. And 45 people lined up in a single file. And I said, all right, one at a time, no crowd. And they started walking by. I started handing them gospel tracts. About the 10th one through, he looked at the thing and he started cursing. He took the thing. He got so mad because he stood in line, and I don't know if he's going to miss his flight or not, but he come back and crinkled that thing up and threw it at me and gave me a cussing. I picked it up, and I said, I don't do that. I said, this costs money. And he didn't laugh just like you didn't. And so here we were, and the guy that was with me, he laughed. He thought that was the funniest thing you ever saw. So finally, I got my briefcase, and I went off, and I waved at the guy, you know, and I said, keep it up, man. You're doing a good job. And I kept on walking. So I got to my airplane, and I walked on, and guess, you'll never guess what happened. I walked on that plane, and the man sitting in the seat next to where I was supposed to sit, I went over and sat down. I looked at him. He looked at me, and he said, don't I know you? And I said, I don't know. Who are you? He said, you're the guy that handed our gospel tract. He said, don't tell me we're going to sit together. I said, yes, for an hour and 55 minutes. Now, he never did get saved, but he knows how. Now, my job is to warn them. My job, they may not get saved, but they'll never stand before God and say, I didn't know. Let me give you some points. Number one, people are dying and going to hell before you were born. People are dying and going to hell before you were born. I spent 15 years of my Christian life, Brother Zinn, not even knowing a thing about personal soul winning. I went to a Sword of the Lord conference, heard Dr. Rice and heard Dr. Hiles, and a light bulb turned on, and I realized my personal responsibility to be a soul winner. That's the first time in my life it ever dawned on me I was supposed to win souls. Now listen to me. People are going to hell before you were ever born. And people were going, nobody sends anybody to hell. They were already going to hell. 15 years of my life, all the people who passed by my path were going to hell. I never told them how to be saved. I never handed them a tract. I wasn't concerned. Nobody put a burden on me. And my job tonight as a preacher is to put the burden on you and put the bee on you and organize you so that we've got a mass of people going out and warning people. No, if they don't get saved, their blood will not be required at your hand if you warn them. But nobody told me that. I was raised, Brother Bowen, to believe if they walked an aisle, got down to altar and bawled and squalled down here, that they might get saved. I love to tell this story. Leon Elder, who was my pastor for a while, and Don Elder, his brother, who still lives in Galesburg, Michigan. When they got saved at a General Baptist church. And Brother Bowen, when Leon came down the altar, he got down on this side. And a bunch of people got around him and started slapping him on the back. And here's what they said to Leon, let go, let go, let go. Don walked down the aisle, he got on the other side, and they started slapping him on the back, got a crowd around him, and they said, hold on. Hold on, hold on, hold on. And so here's Don over here, and they're hollering, hold on, hold on. Don said he didn't want to go to hell. That's why he went to the altar. They're saying, hold on. He didn't know what to hold on to. It was over here, Leon, Leon, let go. He didn't know what to let go of. And finally, old Leon prayed, said, dear Jesus, I don't know what this means to let go. I don't know what it means. Jesus, would you save me? And all of a sudden, he jumped up and said, I did it. I got saved. He looked over and saw Donald there, and he said, hold on, hold on, hold on. Leon, he said, he got down, crawled down there, crawled up underneath there, looked up at Don's face, and Don said, I don't know what to do. What do they mean? Hold on. He said, don't listen to them. He said, I found out what to do. He said, ask Jesus to save you. And Don prayed and invited Christ into his heart. Well, somebody say amen. Brother, our job tonight is not to wait for the lost people to come to us. We're supposed to go to them and get the gospel to them. Now, they were going to hell before you were ever born. Number two, God has obligated himself to speak to mankind once. God has obligated himself to speak to mankind once. Let me give you a verse, Titus 2:11. The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. So God has obligated himself to speak to mankind once. God is saying every creature that stands before me will not say, I did not know I was supposed to be saved. There is a Romans chapter 1, there's something wonderful about the universe and the testimony the universe gives to us. There's something marvelous about how God gets the gospel to people. That's in the Bible. I'm not making it up. And I'm saying tonight that nobody that goes to hell will say, I didn't know how to be saved. God gave his word. Everybody, one time in their life, will receive a clear presentation of the gospel by God himself. Let me give you a third statement. God has given, don't talk. If you have a child, take the baby out now. God has given, let's bow our heads, please. Ushers, folks are going to hear this message now. We've got a children's church back there. They're going to talk, take them out. Father, help us tonight. Folks have got to hear the message tonight, please. In Jesus' name we ask it, amen. All right, now number three. God has given to us the intercessory work of soul winning. God has given to us the intercessory work of soul winning. Now that means God speaks once. God will do it. Everybody here, God has spoken to one time. Then what's God going to do? Then God has obligated himself to speak to mankind once. God is saying that people are going to hell before you were ever born. Then God says, I'm going to give you the intercessory work of soul winning. Now, what's that mean? That means that God has spoken. Now, it's your turn. All right, all you fellas, stand up in a single file facing me, if you would, on the platform. Down there, scoot back that way. All right? You be God here, Tim. Come here and be God. Now, here's what God is saying. As these people walk by, and you walk on by, God, just put your finger in his chest. You've always wanted to do that. God tells them once. God tells them once. God tells them once. God, go all the way around the hallway. God tells them once. God tells them once. God tells them once. God tells them once. Now, after God has spoken to them, there's an intercessory work to be done by you and me. That, I hope they come back. You think they'll come? The intercessory work, then, is done by the soul winner. All right? Are you getting the picture? All right, here's somebody born. They're coming into life. As they come by, then God speaks to them once. God speaks to them once. But wait a minute. Now, everybody freeze now. I'm the soul winner. Now, my job is to speak again. Is anybody here tonight? So God said, I'll tell them once. But He's saying, I've got to have my people warn them after I do. Somebody's got to tell them again. And so as they walk by, then I warn him again. And I warn him again. And this is the second time that we warn him again. We warn him again. We warn him again. And we warn him again. Now, watch this. Going around. Now, four fellows, come here and help me. Now, watch it. The more people we get out here to do the warning, the more opportunity we have of getting somebody saved. Here are people being born. They're coming into this world. God said, I'll speak to them once. God speaks to them once. Now, I'm going to warn you. And they're going to warn. I'm going to warn you. And I'm going to warn you. I'm going to tell you, you've got to get saved. I'm going to warn you about heaven and hell. I'm going to warn you. And I'm going to warn you. And I'm going to warn you. Now, ladies and gentlemen, do you see it? Can't you see it tonight? The more people we get out warning, God's going to do it once. But the more people we get out in the streets, the more time they're warned about this matter of heaven and hell. Somebody say amen. You have an obligation. Thank you. All can be seated. I hope the staff there, they did come back. I'm proud of them. Number four, you never speak to the wrong person. You never speak to the wrong person. Never. Never. Never speak to the wrong person. Tonight, there are people out there that you don't even know, but God knows them. And they may look, isn't it amazing to you? You go out and go soul winning. You come up for soul warning night. You pull up in your car and you're screaming at your wife. Screaming at the kids. Sit down back there when I tell you. Then your wife says, don't holler at those kids. It's your fault. You got homework. What if you'd have had supper on the table? So you pull up in the parking lot and you get out of your car and you see the preacher. And here's what you say. Hi, Pastor. Been praying for you. Liar, liar, pants on fire. And all of a sudden, you're Mr. Spiritual now. Then you come out here and you leave in your car and you see some old big old ugly guy weighing 280 pounds and a beard and a stogie in his hand, a Bud Dumber in the other hand. And you see him and here's what you say. Well, I just don't feel led to talk to him. Wait a minute, you don't go deer hunting that way. Get that 30-30. You get out there in the woods, that big old buck jumps up. You don't say, well, I just don't feel led. What do you mean? You done shot three horses. You done shot two cows. Wounded one farmer. The bush moves and you shoot and say, honey, go see what we got. Hey, you never talk to the wrong person. Talk to everybody. That's what God is saying. May I say to you quickly, number five. Anyone can carry the message. Anyone can carry the message. We had a big old football player here two Sundays ago. I think it was last Sunday or Sunday before. And he raised his hand that he was lost. One of the ushers went up to him and tried to get him to come to the altar and get saved. He wouldn't do it. One of the other men of the section went up to him and tried to get him to come to the altar and he wouldn't do it. And a little 8-year-old boy looked up at him and said, Mister, don't you want to go to heaven with me? And that was all it took for that football player for conviction to hit him. And he began to weep. And he walked down these aisles and got saved, got baptized. Isn't that wonderful? Little 8-year-old boy, he watched all these adults come to this man. If I looked up and said, don't you want to go to heaven with me? Hey, isn't that wonderful? I guess I'm the only one excited about it. I thought it was wonderful. I was in Mena, Arkansas, preaching at a little old mission church. I used to go up there and try to help, what was his name? Steve Ware. Started a little mission up in Mena, Arkansas, and I went up there about 4 years in a row trying to help him to get it started. And by the way, there's a church there now. But we preached that little old block, cinder block building, and I only have two sermons on the road that I preach. It's titled, You Ain't Right With God If You Don't Go Soul Winning. And so I preached that on Monday night and gave invitation. People came to the front. And there was two little old ladies in the back. And I wondered who was listening. And both talking to each other like that. And the first little old lady, she got up, finally got up, out of the pew, and she started walking down the aisle. The second little lady grabbed a handful of dress, and she started walking down the aisle, but she kept leaning to the left and leaning to the right, and finally she came down to the front. And when she got down the front, I said, "Mama, what can I do to help you?" And she looked up at me, and she said, "You said we wasn't right with God if we didn't go soul winning." She said, I forget her name. I like this name, but I'll just give it to Gertrude. I love that name. And my name is Gertrude, and I'm 79. And said, "This is my mother." And she said, "We used to hand out the sword of the Lord by hand for Dr. Rice on the streets. But you said we wasn't right with God if we didn't go soul winning. They took our driver's license away from us." And the only thing I could think of was glory to God. And she said, "We can't drive anymore. What are we supposed to do?" Now, I don't mind making deacons mad. I'm paid to do that. But not sweet little old ladies. And I thought to myself, "Lord, help me." And I said, "Ha, do you own a telephone?" She looked up and she said, "Gotcha!" And turned around and started going back to the street. And her mother, holding on, there they're going, back to their seat. Tuesday night, I got up and preached, "You ain't right with God if you don't go soul winning, part two." Gave invitation. People came to the front. Two little old ladies in the back. Same two little ladies. First one got up, stood like this. Second one grabbed a handful of dress, up like this. The mother, she'd lean to the left, lean to the right. She came down to the front, and I said, "Oh, no, now what?" And I said, "What can I do for you?" She looked up, and the daughter looked up and said, "We got five today." Well, somebody shout amen. Brother, I'm saying tonight, our job is to warn everybody we can warn, tell everybody we can tell, and the more people that go, and the more people that warn, the more people are going to get saved. Anybody can carry it. Scott, when we were up in, all of our kids went on what we call a solo flight soul winning. That's where they went alone. Let them go alone. We stopped aside and watched it. We were up in Gary, Indiana. Scott said, "Daddy, can I go solo tonight, today?" And I said, "You sure can." He walked across the street, rapped on a screen door. Screen door open. I'm across the street. I can't hear what's going on. But the lady and him are conversing. Then pretty soon the screen door shut, and Scott kept standing there. Then pretty soon the door opened again, and then it shut again. And then here comes Scott back across the street. And I said, "Son, did you get saved?" He said, "Nope." He reached in his pocket and pulled out a $5 bill. He said, "But she gave me $5. And as serious as could be, he looked at me and he said, "You know, Daddy, this soul winning really pays." And that's the reason he got in evangelism after that. That's all our kids have ever known. We pulled up here one day, and a guy jogging across the parking lot, and I think it was Bob, I think, and pulled up here, and Bob said, "There goes one." He jumped out of the car and saw the guy jogging across the parking lot. He went after him. He skidded. He didn't have a New Testament. He turned around. I threw him mine. He chased the jogger down Luke 281, stopped him. I saw him witnessing the jogger. He held his Bible up like that, jogger looking down like that. Finally, the jogger put his hand on the Bible, bowed his head, prayed, and invited Jesus in his heart. Hey, it beat stealing hubcaps. And then I looked up, and here come the jogger back across the parking lot, and here comes Bob back across the parking lot. I said, "Where's he going?" Said, he got saved, Daddy. He's going home to take a shower. He's putting a suit on. He's coming to church tonight. Hey, with a beach stealing hubcaps. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm saying tonight, please understand, we have been given the personal obligation to tell everybody we can about Jesus Christ. I know it is. Number six. Thank you for the endorsement. Number six. Now if we can just get you to start doing it. Number six. All who receive Christ are saved forever. All who receive Christ are saved forever. But they cannot receive Christ until they've first been warned. All who receive Christ are saved forever. But they cannot receive Christ until they're first warned. That's why he kept saying over and over and over and over and over again, warn them. I'm talking to people tonight who are discouraged about it. because all you do is go and nothing ever happens. But wait a minute, you're obeying the Bible. Did he not say warning? Did he not say that? All right, stand up, Brother Ortiz. There's Jesus over there. Here's a drunk. Here's a drunk. Here's Jesus. My job, that is the best looking drunk I've ever seen. What is this? Is this bird cloth? Cheap? What? No. And so, I'm a soul winner. So, thank you for that laughter. He said. So my job as a soul winner is to warn him and lead him to the Savior. Now, I cannot save him, but I can lead him. Anybody here? I do know what Jesus will do with him. I don't know what he'll do. But I do know if I clearly tell him what he can do, then the responsibility is on him, and I have warned him. I have led him to Christ, but Jesus does the saving. I don't do the saving. My job out here is to take every person I can take and lead them to the Savior. I know what Christ will do. Now what happens is between him and the Savior, but my job is to warn them. That's my job. And I'm going to do it too. Now let's say that he doesn't get saved. Whose fault is it? There's three persons here. You've got Christ, you've got the sinner, and you've got the soul winner. Now, I want to know whose fault it is if he lies to me. I want to know whose fault it is if he deceives me. I want to know whose fault it is if he decides he doesn't want to get saved. And I'm telling you tonight, if he lies to me, if he says I'm going to do it just to get that preacher off my back, when I stand before God, there will be no blood dripping off of my hands from this man because I sincerely warned him and led him to the Savior. That's his decision. Hey, you critics, get off my back. How do you folks do this stuff anyway? How do you folks figure out who's saved, who's not saved? Huh? Well, I smells like I've been smoking. So in other words, if you smoke, you go to hell. Is that what you're saying? Well, I saw one of your good members down there tipping a martini. Well, what were you doing there in the first place to watch them? By the way, your lying's the same as drinking. Somebody help me. Your Phariseeism is just as bad as drinking, and your gossip is just as bad as drinking. Now, this is my job, to warn him. Now, if whatever he decides, you look terrible. Whatever. Your wife's not going to let you come home tonight. But whatever he does, that's his responsibility. I've done mine. All right. Thank you. Did you get saved? Good. I'm proud of you. God bless you. Help you back to your seat here. And all right. Now, tonight, listen. You don't look saved, but you are saved. Tonight, next Sunday, we have an opportunity to do something that very few churches will get to do in a lifetime. This week, we'll get to do something that very few... You visitors visiting tonight. If you've been here all day, and by the way, this is just one Sunday school out of seven Sunday schools we conduct on a weekend. I would dare say the people who come and visit with us see more people saved and baptized on a Sunday than they see in an entire year at their own church. I guarantee you. Now, folks, don't live in the middle of history being made and not be a part of it. We need a lot of people out here warning. You know, this is what's fun. Everybody works a bus route. Everybody goes sowing. Everybody warns. And then when the invitation's given, we shout over everybody who hit pay dirt. We say, glory to God, this is great. And you're a part of it. See, some of you quit going because you can't win people. But you disobeyed God. Because God said you're supposed to warn them. Jesus does the saving. Your job's do the warning. Let's have a great week this week. Now, those of you who are scared to death of this thing, We'll pair you up with a loud mouth this week. We got several loud mouths here. I'll guarantee you this. Go soul with me. If you go with me, you won't get to say a word. I've been known to steal converts from people who are with me. Ask Brother Bowen, buddy. We were standing there talking, and I don't like it when a convert starts liking my silent partner. And I said, Brother Bowen, look at that. He'll turn around and look, and I'll take the convert. I was with Melvin Meister one time. We were over in Diana, and there was a dog underneath the thing, and this crazy. I was talking to the guy, but the crazy guy kept talking to Melvin all the time. And so finally, I kicked a little dirt over like that to the dog, and the dog woke up, and the dog saw us. I said, look out, Melvin! And that dog come flying underneath that tree, and I mean, it missed him by that much. Melvin's over there going like this, and I was over there leading this convert to Christ. Bless God, I'm going to get me one. If I got to steal him, I'm going to get me one. Now let's go warn people. Let's have a great week. But everybody be in your place. Here's the sad part. Look at me. Listen to me. I'm going to close here in about 15 minutes. We're all going to Brother Bowen's house for ice cream after service. But now listen to me. Here's what's sad. We're going to have a big day next Sunday. Some of you church members won't even be here. We're going to have a big day, and some of you folks won't even be in your post. Some of you bus drivers won't even be here next Sunday. Won't even be in your spot next Sunday. I guarantee you, it'll happen. Now, I'm saying be in your place. Let's go soul warning. Let's tell people how to be saved. Here's what you do. You tell somebody, sir, if you die today, do you know that you go to heaven? Pow! They turned me down. I thought you was out there telling about Jesus. Come on, help me. I didn't know you was telling about you. You know what I do when somebody cusses me real good? I look at him and say, whoa, a new word. If you think for a second, I'm going to let that guy get my goat, you're crazy. You know the thing about the track? I said, don't do that. That costs money. I do that all the time. Every time somebody crinkles, I go, don't do that. That thing costs money. Science has gotten the picture on it. Now, why don't you start enjoying your soul winning? Here's what I do. I get door slammed. Yay. Cussing. Yay. Don't you ever come back here again? Wonderful. I hate your pastor. Great. It's me. I was down on South Green Street, and I was with this little old lady. And finally got through, and she got saved, and I started inviting her to church. She said, young man, she said, I'd be glad to come to your church, but there's one church I'll never visit in town. It's that one pastored by that fella named Bob Gray. I'll never go there to hear him. I didn't have the heart to tell her. And now, you know what I do? I'm willing to go through 5 or 6 or 7 until I find that one that wants to be saved. Now, why don't you do that? Why don't you decide to start warning people, telling people how to be saved? Some of you are looking at me funny. Why don't you smile? Why don't you get excited about it? Hey, you want to deliver your own soul? That's why you never smile in church. That's why you never enjoy it. Why? Your soul is dead. Because you never want. Not because. The happiest people in this church are not the ones who win a lot of people, but the ones who warn a lot of people. No, you warn a lot of people, you'll get somebody saved. You really will. Father, help us tonight. The dear folks have been so kind to listen.